These two things are parallel. He says, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away. And every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except you abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And the men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. So shall you be my disciples. Now understand what he's saying here. If you are a Christian, but you're living ungodly, you're not abiding in Christ. Now, that means that all of the effect, all of the fruit bearing that would have been in that family branch had you continued abiding in Christ is going to be lost. And so it behooves us to take seriously the lives we live after that we get saved. And men, we hold the greatest responsibility because our influence is the most powerful influence in our children's lives. You say, well, mama's influence is important. Mama's influence is very important. But daddy holds the responsibility of passing on to the next generation the truth of God's word. Now, he may delegate some of that to mama, but it is still his responsibility. He must see that it's being done, and he must make very sure that he is living godly. Whenever we think that we can sin secretly and it not hurt anything, God knows. God is the one who trims the vine. See, it's not people. You don't have to worry about what people know about you. You need to be concerned about what God knows about you. You see, we can't live a secret life and keep the branch abiding in Christ. We cannot have anger issues and mistreat our families and do all kinds of secret sin and it not cause our branch to be cut off. It is a very, very, very serious thing. And our world is going south, folks. Our world is getting wicked. And I'm going to tell you, it all starts right here. You see, think what the world would be if everybody who was a Christian back in the early part of this century, or last century, had abided in Christ and kept teaching their children and keeping them in church and telling them about Jesus and showing them how to live. And showing them how to live means living before them a godly life. Just think what our culture would be instead of all the wickedness that we have going on. See, that comes when that branch is cut off because the devil just preys on people who are not protected by God's grace. It is a dangerous thing to let the devil get a hold of your family. And God is the one who prunes it. I can't overstress that. He said, I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. In other words, it is God that makes the decision whether or not you get cut off or not. And so he looks at the heart. Man looks on the outward appearance. God looks on the heart. God knows what's going on in your heart. And he will deal with you accordingly and with your family. If somebody said, you know, there's somebody plotting to hurt your family, well, we'd stay up all night and guard our family. But I'm going to tell you, the devil's plotting to hurt your family. He is plotting to hurt your family, and he's going to do it through you if he can. You're going to have to stand guard. And you got to stand guard vigilantly over your family. And you do that by rejecting every attempt of the devil to lead you into sin. And it comes little by little. We talked in Sunday school about incremental sin. And I want to preach on that next Sunday. But I want you to understand, you can't toy with sin without sin getting a hold of you. And whenever sin gets a hold of you, it gets a hold of your family. So we as men have to take that responsibility. The provocation, Hebrews chapter 3, verse 7 through 12. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost saith, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, in the day of temptation in the wilderness, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. We provoke God when we live in sin as a Christian. Lost people can get by with sin a whole lot better than a Christian can. We belong to God. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. We have a responsibility to stand. And folks, I don't care what the world is doing, we must stand firm on the Word of God. We can't let them set the standard. Somebody says, well, what I do is a whole lot less than what the world does. Well, bully for you. But if it's not what God says do, you're messed up. You see, if we let the world set the standard, we're going to go way out of the way from what God says. Because the world is going to hell. Understand, folks, we are a generation which, if we are not careful, are going to miss heaven because we are led astray by the world. The Bible says that the way into heaven is very narrow. Few there be that find it. I believe that there are thousands upon thousands of Christians today who name the name of Jesus who have no clue that they're on the road to hell because they've never, ever surrendered to Jesus Christ. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. They have a name that they're saved, but they're dead. It is extremely important that we understand that our sin provokes God. And when God's had enough, he'll cut that branch off. Parenting is not as hard as it sounds. Do you know the best way to raise your children? You be what you want them to become. Because that's pretty much what's going to happen. I had a lady tell me one time, I never sin in front of my kids. I said, do you sin in front of God? God knows you and God knows your kids. You see, it is a dangerous thing to live ungodly and try to train your kids to live godly. Doesn't work. Because the Lord visits the iniquities of the parents on the children to the third and fourth generation. Because we fail to love God with all of our heart. Proverbs 22:6 says this. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he's old, he won't depart from it. That's a promise. That does not mean that your children will not sin. I had a deacon tell me one time, years ago, he said, Proverbs 22:6 is a lie. I said, why do you say that? He said, I taught my daughter how to live godly, and she sinned. I said, do you sin? He said, well, yeah. I said, well, then you didn't teach her not to sin, did you? How's a sinner going to teach somebody not to sin? Why don't you not sin? You see, When we teach somebody the way they ought to go, we teach them what to do with sin. Sin's going to happen. And when you sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. We teach our children, don't sin. Sin will destroy you. Every sin has a consequence. It's a natural consequence. But when you do, we have an advocate with the Father. That's the way we train our children. That's what I have to do. That's what you have to do. That's what they have to do. And if you will give them that truth, nobody can take it from them. You see, if you raise your child and you say, son or daughter, if you sin, you're going to go to hell. After you're saved, you sin, you lose your salvation, you have to be saved again. That won't work. And they won't last long on that teaching. But if you teach them, the wisest thing you can do with your life is never sin. But if you do, run to Jesus just as fast as you can. Confess your sin, agree with him about your sin, ask for forgiveness, and God will forgive and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And then you go as long as you can without sinning again. Pass it on to your children. That's the key to parenting. The most important thing in parenting is living godly. Most important thing. More is caught than taught. But then teach them what to do when they sin. Then there's a word of caution here, verses 21 and 22. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness, if thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou also shalt be cut off. Now, how's that work? If you're a Christian, and you just get upset with God or the church or somebody, and you just cut it off. Well, it doesn't take away your salvation. But what it does is it takes away the influence that you have on your children. And it takes away their salvation most of the time. Because they then are raised without that godly input that they need. And so he says, take heed, be careful. Because the devil wants you to fail. Have you realized that? The devil's out to get you. He wants you to fail. He wants you to fail personally. He wants you to fail your family. He wants you to fail your church. He wants you to fail everything. And so he will figure out anything he can to get you to fall into so that you will fail. You see, there is a law of the harvest. Sowing brings reaping. There's a natural consequence. Something I believe some people don't understand. If you sin and you confess that sin to God, he will forgive you. He will wipe away all stains of that sin. But the consequence is still there. If you go out, you men and you are women, and you commit adultery, will God forgive that? Absolutely. Your spouse may not. The consequence is still there. You go out and rob a bank. You confess it to God, he'll forgive you. The consequence is still there. You commit suicide. You still go to heaven, but you still die. You see, what we sow, we reap. Listen to Galatians 6, 7, and 8. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to the flesh shall out of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall out of the Spirit reap life everlasting. You know what he means when he says, God's not mocked. Don't be deceived. The devil will try to make you think, now that I'm saved, sin doesn't cost anything. I can sin all I want to. and I can still go to heaven. He said, don't let him deceive you. You're not going to mock God. You know, you say, Lord, you're the Lord of my life. And I want to do whatever you want me to do as long as I agree with it. Jesus said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do the things that I tell you? Pretty good question, isn't it? If Jesus is the Lord of your life, he's the boss. But a whole lot of people who name the name of Christ and go around saying, ain't nobody going to tell me what to do, including God. That's not a Christian attitude. You see, whenever we have that attitude, the devil has a field day. And he's got us sowing these seeds, and then the harvest starts coming in. The happiest people on this planet are the ones who obey God. That's true. You want your family to be happy? Obey God. You want your work life to be happy? Obey God. You want your church to be happy? Obey God. The people who are deceived by the devil and think they're too big for their anybody to mess with, they're not happy. They're not submitted to God. They're not happy. See? That's the trick of the devil. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. You sow, you reap. Just like lost people. Why do people go to jail? Because they think they can get by with sin. Same thing for a Christian. You sin, you pay. You sow, you reap. Be not deceived. That's pretty good advice. Don't let the devil deceive you. Best way you can live your life is in absolute obedience to God's word. Sinning is a terrible thing. It's poison. It's like cancer. Listen to Exodus 34, 6 through 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and to the fourth generation. The word visiting there means that they're going to have a tendency toward that sin. Say, why would God do that? God didn't do that. You did that. When you choose to sin, you set up a real difficult situation for your children and your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren and your great-great-grandchildren. There are people who have a propensity towards sin that is very strong in their life and they don't even know where it came from. It's because somebody sinned and chose to sin and treasured up wrath against the day of wrath. And so it's passed on from generation to generation. You say, well, that's mean of God. Why would God do that? It's a natural consequence. You get on top of a tall building and you jump off. God doesn't throw you to the ground. It's a natural consequence of a choice. Whenever we decide to sin, God has just explained to us, here's what's going to happen. You're going to set up a propensity toward this particular sin in your children's life to the third and fourth generation. Don't do it. Because when you do it, you're not just choosing for you, you're choosing for those that come after you. And if those children don't overcome that propensity and they fall into the same sin, then they get four generations. See how that snowballs? It's a very dangerous thing to sin. If a Christian tells me I have sin in my life that I can't conquer, you know what it tells me? Is that they're toying with sin. There are opportunities for sin that you can walk away from if you want to. But if you fail to do that, it will lead you to sin that you can't walk away from. And it just keeps going, keeps going, keeps going. We share our sin with our families. Numbers 16:16-33. This is a very vivid account of how your sin affects your family. Listen to this. And Moses said to Korah, "Be thou and all thy company before the Lord, thou and they and Aaron tomorrow. And take every man his censer, and put incense in them, and bring ye before the Lord every man his censer, 250 censers, thou also and Aaron, each of you his censer." They took every man his censer, and put fire in them, and laid incense thereon, and stood in the door of the tabernacle of the congregation with Moses and Aaron. And Korah gathered all the congregation against them unto the door of the tabernacle of the congregation, and the glory of the Lord appeared unto all the congregation. And the Lord spake unto Moses and unto Aaron, saying, "Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." And they fell upon their faces and said, "O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin? And wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, "Speak unto the congregation, saying, Get you up from about the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram." And Moses rose up and went unto Dathan and Abiram, and the elders of Israel followed him. And he spake unto the congregation, saying, "Depart, I pray you, from the tents of these wicked men, and touch nothing of theirs, lest ye be consumed in all their sins." So they got up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan, and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children. And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of mine own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me. But if the Lord make a new thing, and the earth open her mouth and swallow them up with all that appertaineth unto them, and they go down quick into the pit, then ye shall understand that these men have provoked the Lord." And it came to pass, as he had made an end of speaking all these words, that the ground clave asunder that was under them. And the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that appertained unto Korah, and all their goods, they and all that appertained to them, went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. Now I want you to get the picture here. The word went out, get away from Korah, Dathan, and Abiram. Everybody did except their family, because the influence on their family kept them there. This is my daddy. These are my people. I'm not going to leave them. And that influence caused them to stay in the wrong place. And whose fault was it? It was Korah's. It was Dathan and Abiram. So they stood there, and the earth swallowed them up. Even their little babies. Now, God puts this in his word to show us how we affect our families when we sin. We do not sin just to ourselves. No man lives to himself. No man dies to himself. Everything we do affects others. You affect your family first. You affect your church. You affect your city, your nation, your world. Sin costs way too much for us to participate. We have a chance, folks. America is just about gone. I'm serious. Sin is rampant in America. The Bible says, "As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be when the Son of Man shall come again." In the days of Noah, the Bible says, that before the flood, the thoughts and imagination of the hearts of men was only evil continually. We're almost there. We're getting there. As a matter of fact, I believe with all my heart, if the rapture took place and all the Christians were taken out of this world, we would be there. When Noah and his three sons and their wives and Noah's wife got on the ark and took them out, then everybody else, imagination of their heart was only evil continually. That ark is just like the rapture. So now, we have a chance to do something about it. Not only do we have the power to influence our children for evil, we have the power to influence our children for good. You can turn your family back to Christ if you will give your heart totally and completely to God. Listen to what he says here in verse 23 and 24 of our text. They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these which be the natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? He says, you got out because of unbelief. You say, well, can a Christian be in unbelief? Absolutely. As a matter of fact, we're warned, be careful lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. What does that look like? That looks like sin. When we begin to turn away from God's principles, we begin to be proud, when we begin to be self-sufficient, when we begin to not trust God but trust ourselves and our pocketbook or whatever, when we begin to do that, we have an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. And that's what cuts our branch off. To get it grafted back in, we have to go back. And we have to confess our sin. We have to begin serving God with all of our heart, not leaning to our own understanding, trusting God in every situation that comes up, not being afraid. The Lord said, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will help you. Yea, I will strengthen you. Yea, I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Trust the Lord with all your heart. And don't lean to your own understanding. You can start fresh. No matter where you're at, what you've done, how far you've gone, you may say, well, Brother Allen, I messed up too much. I can't fix this. Yes, you can. Listen to Isaiah 1:18. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. He's talking to his people, Israel. And he's talking to his people, the Christian people of the church age. Come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. If you need cleansing, God is ready to do that. God wants us to seek him with the whole heart. That means every area of our life. You can't have God for Sundays and you run the rest of your life. It has to be God in control of every small detail of your life. And if you are willing to do that, then God will make a way and he will cleanse you. You can have a fresh start. We have to stand firm. Joshua and Caleb were the only two that came out of Egypt under Moses' leadership, who made it into the promised land. They stood firm. When Joshua took over as the leader, he was given this admonition. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. It was Joshua who said, if you think it's better to serve the gods that were back in Egypt, go for it. Or if you think it's better to serve the gods here in Canaan that your God has overthrown. But choose you this day who you're going to serve. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Men, we need to make that our pledge. That needs to be what we do. That doesn't mean just a little bit. That means totally. We can't serve the idols of money, of pride, of prestige, of imagination. We've got to serve God. And then you got to speak to your family. You see, when we speak, the family listens. You may think they don't, but they do. Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 12. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. These words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand. They shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities, which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fieldest not, and wells dig, which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees, which thou plantest not. When thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. You see, we have to keep on teaching, keep on teaching, keep on teaching. Because the devil is teaching as hard as he can to lead our families astray. He would like to destroy your family and you right along with them. The devil has never done good for anyone. Never. Now, he may offer pleasure. He told Eve, it's going to make you smart. And Eve said, really? I'd like to be smart. And when she saw that it was good for food and pleasant to look at, she ate it. Now, was it good for food? Must have been. Did it make her know right and wrong? Sure did. What the devil didn't tell her is there's a price tag. There's a consequence. And we're still suffering the consequence. Because we're in the lineage of Adam. It's been passed on from generation to generation to generation to generation till it came down to us. What are you going to do? America is on a collision course with hell. You need to get your family off. The escape is the rapture. I do not see any other escape. The signs are all here. What you're going to do, you're going to have to do. But I'm going to tell you something. You can make a difference for your family if you'll give your heart totally and completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. And every decision, every action, every thought can be brought into captivity. And we can live godly in Christ Jesus. And I believe that God is calling us out. I believe that God, just like he said to the congregation of Israel, come out from amongst them. Separate, because I'm fixing to swallow them up. Bring your families out. Come out from amongst them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. You can't keep touching the unclean without being swallowed up. It's time for decisions, folks. It's time to make up our mind what we're going to do. Choose you this day who you're going to serve. So I'm going to serve the Lord. Then serve Him. Serve Him. Don't compromise. Don't see how close you can get to sin without falling in. Live godly. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, let me tell you, Jesus died to save you. Salvation can be found at the foot of the cross. Jesus died for your sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He rose from the dead the third day, according to the Scriptures. If you believe that, you put your trust in what Jesus did for you, you can be saved. And you can be clean. And you can start afresh. Let the Lord have His way. Let's stand with the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the opportunity that we have before this world comes to a drastic end. And the tribulation period begins. We have the opportunity to turn to You with all of our heart. Lord, I pray that we may choose that. And that we may, by Your grace, stand firm for truth. Be with that soul that's nearest hell. Guide us in Your Word. Your Word is truth. Thank You for all that You do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.